to you by onlygabe.com.
A proud sponsor.
If you need your daily dose of Gabe from Theme Park Duo, onlygabe.com.
Let's be honest, who doesn't? So just being honest.
There's like a tab that says Nikki, and you click on it, it's just you saying no.
Only Gabe. No. Only Gabe.
It's a 404 air code or something.
Yeah.
But there you go. You can hear right there Gabe and Nikki from Theme Park Duo and James H. Carter II, which I think during Halloween season, you need to be like James H. Carter the Revenge, or James H. Carter
Strikes Back.
Yes. From Creepy Kingdom. And both of these guys, man, I asked to do this show with me because both put out year-round dope theme park content. But then haunt season, we all collectively online look forward to haunts. And we all, three of us, banter either back and forth or with people, especially people try to be trollish online, where we'll usually have something to say about like a reaction, like, I don't know, a t-shirt. Like when people get a little hyphy over a t-shirt, like usually you can catch myself saying something for sure. But then when the reaction is a little bit over the top, I feel like the three of us are usually on team optimism and positivity. And hey, man, yeah, it's going to be sure. It's going to be fun. So
exactly.
Let's look forward to haunt season collectively.
In all honesty, that's usually Nikki's stance is we have Halloween. We at least have it. So why are people complaining?
Exactly.
For sure. And it's funny because I think that for the most part, the haunt community collectively will do whatever it takes to have a Halloween this year. Like, I think most of us will be like, yeah, you want us to be vaccinated? Like, that's fine. We got vaccinated a while ago. You want us to do this? You want us to do this? Like, virtual queue, like, whatever. Like, at this point, especially if, like, going back to Avengers Campus and, like, seeing how, like, Disneyland operates under protocols, like, I don't know about you guys, but I don't care about like wearing a mask anymore. I don't care about any of that stuff. I will do it if it means we can have like events like Halloween Horror Nights this year.
Yeah, no, 100%. Did any of you guys, and I think I know the answer, but experience Orlando's kind of like 2-day Horror Nights last year?
No.
I know you guys did it. Did you get to do it, Jimmy?
Yeah, I was there end of September-ish.
So I heard from someone else that the experience was pretty positive, even though they had plexiglass. But the advantage was that you really got to go through the mazes by yourself, right, which really enhanced the experience. What is your opinion on that?
I would echo that the experience alone, especially because I did the Tooth Fairy one first. Yeah. So it was like really alone. They scared the shit out of me, even with the plexiglass. So
nice.
Gabe and Nikki, when you guys did it, were you guys pretty much by yourselves?
We didn't go.
Oh, you didn't go.
Okay. No, we didn't go. But in terms of like mask wearing at this point, it is such a normal everyday thing for us that we don't care. Like, we'll wear a mask. We'll double mask up if we have to, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
I know that you feel the same way.
Definitely. We're definitely like the overcautious type when it comes to all this stuff. And, you know, we're vaccinated. And I feel like even if things had still been going in a downward trend, we would still be wearing our masks. Yeah, October. Pretty much.
So really nothing has changed.
No. So we're, right. Yeah.
That's changed for us. Yeah. But in terms of those haunted houses for their quote HHN light, it was kind of cool that people did have the opportunity to go through these houses for all intents and purposes alone, because the way that Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights here in Hollywood operates is slightly different than the way Orlando operates in terms of its pacing through these mazes. You know, Hollywood usually does pretty big groups of people, then stops and does the pulsing. Horror Nights in Orlando doesn't do that, at least in our experience. Horror Nights 27, yeah. It was kind of just like a constant conga line through it, which in a certain way I think works for what Horror Nights does there. I don't think it would ever work here, but going through a loan, I think, at the time, having the capacity that they had makes a lot of sense. A little concerned about that with, like, higher capacity in the parks and lowering the amount of people that could go through a night. Slightly concerning.
I don't think. Do you think they'll do that?
I don't know.
I don't think they'll do that. I think it's going to be business as usual.
Well, really? They're probably going to update their mask thing. So they're
masks.
Probably have to wear masks, but that's probably the only difference.
I don't know. It's Florida. Can't even.
It is Florida. That. But businesses could do what they want. So
yeah.
Yeah, I would say pretty much you two just hit it. I think a combo of the two. Business as usual. But if you're inside, like going through a maze, you got to wear the mask.
Yeah, and let's get it straight for everybody. You're still gonna smell that fog walking through the streets if you're gonna be wearing that mask. So don't feel like, oh, I'm wearing a mask, I'm missing out on the fog. No, you're gonna smell it. You're fine. you're gonna get all the nasty scents up in your nose from being around people who probably haven't showered in a while.
Yeah, just it's gonna be combined with that and your bad breath.
Have you ever burped in your mask? It burns your eyeballs, oh my dude. God. Straight up.
My
it
favorite burns. This is just off topic, but my favorite chapstick is peppermint. And I would put that on and then put my mask on and be like, oh my God. Like, it's so bad.
Not gonna lie, I loved when I put beard oil on because I just smelled like beard oil. See, constantly that's up in nice, that mask.
But peppermint nice. Like tries to murder your eyeballs. So.
God. Yeah. That's violent.
It's terrible.
It's like Trump a little like humor. A little Krampus gingerbread man with a
yeah, exactly.
Can.
That's what it felt like.
Those guys are cute. I'd want one if they weren't so murderous.
Do you guys have, speaking of the gingerbread man real fast, have you guys ever snuck like a pic inside of a maze that you weren't supposed to? Because mine was a selfie with the gingerbread man.
So in Hollywood, they aren't so precious about taking photos and things because we've taken a billion photos, videos through mazes, all this stuff for coverage. Uh-huh. But I remember one time I was, well, in 27 was the one year that we did go to Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando. And I remember trying to take some photo and literally somebody like came out of the woodwork, like, excuse me, not allowed to do that. I was like, sorry.
You got
God.
Scared by that guy.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Best I think jump scare of the night.
Yeah. The first time I went to Horror Nights Orlando in 2014, it was Alien versus Predator, and I was just naive. I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to take photos. So yeah, I got a great one of Predator coming at me, one of the puppets, and yeah, just like you said, sure. out of the woodwork, some dude's like, "No pictures,
excuse me, excuse me, sir, put down the camera."
Much scarier than the scare actors in there, because it come out of thin air.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I'll be curious. That's one thing I always will take a picture of is the like facades of the mazes because those are like some of the dopest parts. I'll be curious if Orlando is more lackadaisical because it's the 30th or if they're going to be pretty hardcore about it.
Why would they be lackadaisical on the 30th?
I don't know.
I think that's a Universal Orlando overall rule because they're not allowed to take pictures on the attractions, which I have, or take video, which I have. Done that, and they over the loudspeaker told me to turn it off. They're like, "Hey, you with the red shirt, turn off the camera." So
they're just like James H. Carter II, right, turn off the camera. Right, call me by
name. No, but
Creepy Kingdom,
you're bad. I think that might be just like a rule for the park for whatever reason. I don't know why.
I can just imagine Universal being like, "We know you made that Haunted Mansion documentary. You're already on
thin ice." You're on thin ice, bro. I'm like, I'll do a Chance the Clown documentary.
and we heard that you wanted to do a Haunted Mansion HHN maze on Theme Park Duo.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You're really on thin ice, man. Yeah.
You strike against you.
I still want that, by the way.
Actually, I thought about it the other day, and I was like, oh, my God. That sounds so good.
The fact is that this year for Orlando, are you guys all going?
Yeah.
Yes, we have our flight and we have our tickets, everything booked.
I don't have anything, but I want to. So it's still in the works. We'll see. I'm reluctant to pull the trigger for various reasons. And one is the state of the world. So I don't want to go all the way there and not be able to experience anything or not feel safe doing it. So I'm a little hesitant, but I want to.
I mean, I think you're well within your right to feel the way you do. I would I would be lying if I said that both of us over here had a certain level of reluctancy when it comes to actually going, even though like everything's all set and ready.
Right, you know,
the world is just in a weird state right now.
Yeah, no, and like we're in a unique position. If we actually had, Gabe had tickets for 2019, which 2020, which obviously got pushed. So we already had these tickets.
They transferred them over to this.
Yeah.
So I got a BOGO.
Yeah.
So we had two tickets sitting there. So we just purchased another two tickets
for me. Yeah.
For you, got a hotel, the flight, and then the front of the line passes because they're not doing the scare actor dining this year. So I'm taking that money that I used towards that and putting it towards Express for our second night of Horror Nights.
Right.
Yeah. So we're just hoping for the best and we're going to be as safe as we can. Like we know we're vaccinated. So we're just,
and there's probably going to be a booster. So we're going to get the booster.
We're just going like with high hopes.
Yeah. You guys sound like an echo of me, man. The exact same, same scenario, the BOGO thing, the paying it forward to this year, like exact same situation. We're going, it would be the exact same weekend that we ended up going last year for the HHN Lite. And because we had pre-bought season passes on that 15-month deal, stupid, like first of like one, like just if you could take advantage of it, stupid deals that Orlando was throwing out during the pandemic. And so we were like, let's just do it anyway. And we ended up doing like the Scream and Stream thing and everything. And
the drive through one.
So we were there and but we're going what would be a year later that same weekend. And it's, you know, high hopes is ultimately the understatement of the century, because if all that speculation actually does come to fruition and you look at that event, and we'll, you know, that event's going to be talked about from now to high heaven on every HHN podcast between here and tomorrow. So I actually want to spend the majority of the time talking about the one that doesn't get any love hardly at all, and that's our home HHN, and how it's gone the way that it's gone the last, like, 10 years that it's gone. But the Orlando event, now, you know, you're adding Terror Queen having a stage show and the latest speculation match. It really, that lineup that they are saying is rumored is really like the freaking ultimate Halloween Horror Nights to end all Halloween Horror Nights, with scary legendary truth icons, Eddie Scare Zone, Terra Quinta Scare Zone. The first look at the Haunting of Hill House looks amazing. Bride and Tooth were cool from last year. Beetlejuice, to see that full effect. Like, it's just kind of like, it's going to be cool. Like, everything that you look at their speculation, it's like, that looks cool. That sounds cool. That, you know, sounds cool.
Yep.
It's one of those years where it just kind of slaps all over LA.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, let's be, if we're going to be completely honest, any year of Horror Nights in Orlando kind of feels like it slaps on LA a little bit, just because of the grandeur and what they're capable of doing over there and the style that we have on this end. And I'm not, and Nikki can speak for herself here, but I'm not personally crapping on ours, because I think what ours tries to do, it does pretty well. It's just a completely different tone from top to bottom, and a completely different event from top to bottom than Orlando's is. So it's really hard to sit here and be like, Orlando's is better than Hollywood's, because they're just so drastically different. Like, the only thing that's connecting the two is the freaking name.
Yeah, but then it's also hard because, I don't know, I don't think they do any, and I know this isn't like their decision, it's a higher up decision, but they don't do themselves any favors by having the same mazes.
Yeah.
You know, because like, people who are lucky enough to go to both, or, you know, people that just watch videos compare, and the majority of the time, you know, they're going to favor Orlando's. I mean, I definitely have had some Hollywood mazes that I've preferred over Orlando's, same theme.
Shockingly.
Yeah. But I mean, it just, it's really hard to compare. So I have to try to go in with the mindset of not comparing them.
Yeah, you really have to not compare them. But there are a lot of things, and especially because it's really tough, because 2020 got canceled, and to me, 2019 was probably the best year of Horror Nights here in Hollywood that I've ever seen. I think that it knocked it out of the park in terms of the IPs mixed with a couple original mazes, as well as tones, which for me, the issue that I have with Horror Nights here is that more often than not, like 85% of the time, it takes itself way too seriously. Yeah. It takes itself way too seriously, and it doesn't have fun. 2019 had freaking fun.
It did.
It had Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which is inevitably silly. You had the Holidays in Hell, which was really silly. There was a good amount of variety in terms of these mazes, and I sound like a broken record because I say it on everyone else's podcast when we talk about Horror Nights. I say it on our own, but you need to have variation in your mazes for people to kind of continue to get scared and have fun. Because if you're at the top constantly, how are you supposed to have that much fun or be scared at all? So, I mean, looking at the speculation maps for Horror Nights in Orlando, I'm obviously very, very jelly about a lot of things, but you know, there's some things to look forward to in ours too that I think people kind of tend to overlook just because it's ours.
Well, it's funny that you guys said that, because I would definitely say it's a blend of the two. 2019 was for me. 2019 was definitely one of the better years that it had produced in a while. But it also, 2019's was Stranger Things too, right?
Yeah, that literally was the only bad part of the whole experience for me.
That was by far the worst Halloween Horror Nights maze I've ever seen. That was like Six Flags level.
Yeah, I'd have to.
That's saying something.
I'd agree it might be worse. I mean, was that last room like not even finished?
It wasn't even.
It wasn't painted.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like the Mind Flayer was just white. Like it was just primed. I was like, what the hell is going on?
Uh-huh. It felt like they ran out of money, is what it felt like.
But then one time,
you see just the walkthroughs of the Orlando one, and you're just like, Jesus, this is how good it could be. And this is what we have. But like Nikki said, there are times when Hollywood does it better. Like the Alice Cooper maze here, the first Alice Cooper maze, I thought was really fucking good.
And my nightmare, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you look at Orlando's Alice Cooper maze, it looks, and from what I've heard from people who have done it, super shitty. Like it looks.
That's the thing, is that the Murdy, who works at Hollywood, has so much passion for those musical groups that it shines through in the mazes. And the same thing when you look at anything that he has like huge passion for, the Universal Monster Mazes here in Hollywood. Absolutely freaking outstanding. Yeah,
that was
like
a good one.
Like some of the best mazes that Halloween Horror Nights has ever churned out. But then stuff that maybe he doesn't have that much passion for kind of falls to the wayside. And unfortunately, that's what happens in Orlando too. It's just it's an inevitability of creativity. It's like you have more passion in this one area, so you're going to put a lot more effort and more details into it. So,
I think the fairest comparison between the two is the fact that Hollywood is a locals event and Orlando's is a national event.
Yeah.
Hands down.
You know, you have to put on a different show.
You know? Definitely.
For sure.
Go for it, James.
I was going to say, and with that, the production value is usually higher in Orlando, even, and that's what kind of leads people and even myself to think that Orlando's is better. But it's not like I ever go to Hollywood's going, oh, I didn't have fun that night. I always have fun going.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
It's a different level of experience.
But sure. one thing I can also say is I feel like just the way the event is put on, I feel like Orlando is more of a whole park more event. Cohesive. Well, it's like, because we're just talking about the houses, but let's talk about like the rest of the park.
The scare zones.
The air quotes scare zones that we have here in Hollywood.
Oh, here it goes,
they're
guys.
Not scare zones.
Buckle up.
They're not scare
Buckle
zones.
Buckle
Like 90% of the park is a excuse my pun, dead zone. There's nobody there scaring you because they cram their air quotes scare zones in these tiny little concentrated areas that you can easily avoid. Perfect. Where in Orlando, like they're everywhere, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like Hollywood has gone that direction so far.
Uh-huh.
Because
it didn't used to be that bad. Yeah.
Because I mean, there always were scare zones. You kind of had to go out of your way to go experience, because either it was down, you know, the Parisian Street area or the London Street, which now is Pet's Place.
Yeah, but you didn't have to go through a maze to get to them.
Yeah, you didn't have to go through a maze to get to them. But those were two areas you had to go off to in order to go experience them. Now they got rid of one because now it's Pet's Place, and I doubt they're going to put anything in there. And then the other one is like pretty much the exit of a maze. And they also used to have one on the lower lot. That didn't exist anymore. The last one I remember was Stilt Walking Scarecrows. Like, that was the only other one. I saw a chainsaw crew in 2019, but they were kind of roaming.
Yeah, they're roaming, so they're easily missed.
Yeah, so it confuses me why Hollywood chooses to do that. But, I mean, the thing is that I enjoy what they create anyway. And I like the setups and the stories and the things like that. Even if they go over my head, I learn about it afterwards and I find it interesting.
Yeah.
But it is odd that they choose to put their scare zones where they put them.
I do want to add one thing to that. I think I noticed this in 19. I forget what it was. It was down the, in the back lot. That the scare zones are kind of turning, and Hollywood are turning more into like kind of like outdoor mazes.
Yeah,
they're like gauntlets.
Yeah.
They called one of them a gauntlet, and that's completely the truth.
Like you could, like the one that was in the lower lot. I really don't remember what the theme was.
It was like hell. It was like
satanic. Some shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like New Year's hell something.
Yeah. Right? You could have completely avoided that. Like that wasn't like it was just like a little outdoor mini maze.
Yeah, and unless you went through it like first thing in the night, you were so like crammed in there like sardines. It wasn't even worth it. So it just. It's a sticking point for me, and I can't get over it. Like I get kind of angry when I think about it.
Uh-oh.
It was All Hallows Evil.
All Hallows Evil.
All Hallows Evil.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah, it is. It's very odd that they choose to do that, and I feel like there are a lot of opportunities that are just completely looked over that they could create a park that is completely covered from top to bottom in scare zones.
I mean, maybe there's a logistical reason for the back lot.
And we're all being and moaning for no reason.
No, I mean, not no reason. They can do stuff on the upper lot and like the lower lot.
Relentless, Nikki.
I'm sorry. I can't help it. The back lot I can see because like there's like the terror tram crossing right there. So maybe it's like they don't want people running around. I get it down there. But the rest of the park.
But like on the park proper.
Yeah.
There should be
more scare zones everywhere. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have to say it. It needs to happen. It's long overdue. Like, just speaking of fucking filling the park with content, this is a simple fix right here, right by the fucking escalator. Just put the Treehouse of Terror characters.
Oh,
like you change
Treehouse of Horror.
Just do it. Like, you change Mickey and Minnie's outfits like a million times a year. They got like 30,000 costumes at Disney. You're telling me you can't make a fucking Treehouse of Horror variation of The Simpsons of Krusty and Sideshow Bob? Get those fucking guys out in Springfield day and night in October, for God's sakes.
You're not wrong. The thing is that you're not wrong. Like,
well, now Disney's not going to allow it.
It's all owned by Disney.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you're totally right. But I mean, like, James and I talked, like, all three of us talked about this on our podcast where, you know, we said, don't make it a scare zone because you can't really get scared from these big costumes. Make it more of an experience and photo op area. It doesn't need to be over the top scary. It could be, you know, the silly Simpsons-esque Dracula, man. Mr. Burns that you want to take
people
a picture
will lose
with or
their
something.
Minds if they're to those characters.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You
oh my god.
The fucking gauntlet thing. You make it All Hallows Evil. It's just actually what it's designed to be.
Like, yeah, I think that would fix a lot of things.
Yeah. Bro, an outdoor Treehouse of Horror like walkthrough photo op thing would be fucking dope.
But you know, that'd be so good. You know that people would find a way to complain about it. Oh, that's not scary. You shouldn't be there.
People will complain about it.
Wow. People will complain about anything. Yeah. They'll have the opportunity, whatever it is. You know, that wallpaper's not lined up perfectly. This event kind of sucks ass.
Everyone's spoiled. That's why.
No, you're right. People are spoiled. And the thing is that people are. And I'm gonna go on a little bit of a rant here because I'm fucking annoyed. I'm fucking annoyed.
You don't usually curse on your show, man. I love the.
I don't curse on my show, so it's backed up. I'm constipated with curse words. I'm fucking annoyed that people are complaining about returning houses from HHN Light, and I'm tired of people bitching and moaning about the house choices for Hollywood's Horror Nights.
Horror Nights.
Why is the inflection like that?
Because you're filled with rage.
It's the rage. My inflection is rage. I'm tired of it because the lineup for HHN Light, not many people got to experience that.
Yeah,
a very select few amount of people got to experience that. So just complain that Amaze is coming back because you experienced it. You were one of the few. Give me a break. Most people didn't get to go through it, including us.
On top of that, what about all of us that get the same mazes every year at Scary Farm?
Right?
Yeah. And then you have other parks that continue to repeat their mazes.
See, Hollow Scream does that too, right?
Horror Nights does it once. And oh my God, it's the end of the world.
People are so spoiled with Horror Nights.
Frank, that's hell of repeat mazes.
And the thing is, I get it. Horror Nights usually never does that. But the fact that they're doing it once and the year that is coming after during a pandemic, but after they cancel, give them a fucking break. At least there's this is what it comes down to ultimately. At least we have anything. So why are you fucking complaining? Just be happy you have something. Do you want no event? Or do you want an event that has repeated mazes? Because you can't have it both ways. So shut the fuck up. Sorry. I'm so tired. So annoyed by it.
Oh, my God. You gotta take a Twitter break, bro.
No, Twitter's just going to make it worse.
No, it's crazy because I was taking a Facebook break because the Halloween Horror Nights community on Facebook is a million times worse than Twitter.
Yeah, I love those groups.
Twitter's starting to get fucking.
Yeah, I don't even bother with it. I don't bother with it at all. I just there's no point in me going there because it's just going to make things worse. But what you were saying earlier with, you know, how crazy the lineup is, I'm actually looking at the speculation map right now. It's stunning. And as people coming from Hollywood going to Orlando, we're super pumped about anything that has to do with like the HHN lore. So to speak, when it comes to the icons or Cary, Ohio or anything. And the one thing I find weird is like, yeah, this lineup's crazy. It's like mind blowing. Look at all these like references to Horror Nights, even the Scare Zones, and then Crypt TV. And the thing is, like, I worked for Crypt TV. Like, they have great monsters. They have really great monsters. But in a year where they're celebrating all these different, you know,
Crypt TV is on the speculation map for a maze.
Yes, it is. No, for a scare zone. It's for a scare zone.
Oh, okay.
And like of any year where you're celebrating all these different things from your past, all your scare zones should have been references, not IPs.
Bro, you know what's funny?
What?
I worked for Crypt TV.
What? No way! What?
Wow. I can't join this party.
I was in post production. I was one of two editors for them, so.
I did their social media and their like brand representation, like social outreach and all that bullshit for them for a while.
We'll offline about that.
Yeah,
I've got some
interesting stories.
So does Gabe.
I've got some interesting stories.
No, Nikki, stop.
Stories that, needless to say, when I saw them on their speculation map, I was like, oh.
Oh.
Cool.
Ow.
I was gonna say it like super bitchy, but then Jim's just like, ow.
I'm like, great. I'm really happy for you.
But then they've done stuff in Hollywood over the years, haven't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, they haven't done any scare zone or mazes, but they have.
They always have their content projected on.
Yeah, the content's always projected. So
they're,
I mean,
they're paying for presence there.
For me, it was they're always on the Terror Tram
attached to them for a while. Like,
they're always on the Terror Tram, which it was really cool to see my content played on a huge, massive screen. To something that I
edited,
So.
That's pretty dope, dude. Actually, to say that you've worked on a film that they projected at HHN.
It's pretty cool.
That, like, I told, like, our film never made any fucking money, but it was played in, like, Italy. And I always tell, like, the cast, I'm like, hey, man, like, you fucking played your movie in Italy. That's kind of dope.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. That's kind of cool.
Thing with HHN this year, when was your guys' first year
in Orlando or in Hollywood?
Hollywood.
Nikki, you started going pretty early on.
When did it like come back?
Wasn't it 2009 or 2011?
I want to say my first year was,
well, they did a year and then they did another year and then they stopped for like a good long time.
So when they came
back,
what was the law you're running?
2017 was their Hollywood's first year because they both did, or maybe it was HHN 18 because the first year Hollywood came back, it was Carnival of Carnage. It was it was Jack's Carnival of Carnage, and then the following year it was still Jason and Freddy Leatherface, but with no Jack. And they made the Terror Tram instead of Jack, it was Freddy too. And I that was like 2008-ish, somewhere around there.
I want to say my first year was like 2010.
Okay.
2010?
I think
mine was 2010 or 2011.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking at this list here, and I don't think it's correct because it looks like it's – yeah, this doesn't look right. I was trying to figure out like when it came back because it's listing 92, and then it comes back at 97, then it goes all the way through 2000, and then it comes back in 2006.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound right.
Yeah,
I was saying mine was 2015 because that's when I moved back to California after many years.
Okay.
I can't remember anything that was there besides Alien versus Predator.
That was your first year.
Yeah, that was my first year going Hollywood.
Oh, crazy, crazy, crazy! Yeah. I think my first year had. It was the first year of, what's it called? House of a Thousand Corpses. That was the first time they did that was when that was my first year.
That was a great maze.
It was really well done.
So has everyone done Texas Chainsaw Massacre multiple times?
Yep.
Yes.
I did it in Orlando. The last time they did it in Orlando was 2017. Did they have that in Hollywood too? Because No, they didn't have it there. No, they had it as part of this, like...
Titans of Terror.
So, yeah. But it wasn't the walking through the house experience that Orlando had. There we go. I was confusing.
I definitely remember going through a Texas Chainsaw Massacre that was based off of the Platinum Dunes remake.
Right.
And then I remember going through a Texas Chainsaw Massacre that was based on the original, and then they did a sequel with Chop Top, and then now they're doing this one again, which to my knowledge is the same as the original one that they did before.
And every time, they're really good.
Nikki would disagree.
Don't speak for me. I hate the movies. The mazes are good.
Don't speak for me.
I'm just going to continue to throw Nikki under the bus for no good reason for anything.
Just to bring out the sass.
Like James is like, I love children. Nikki would disagree.
Oh boy.
No, yeah. Another hot take. I hate the
blood and gore.
I just don't
over
like
the
that.
Top,
I just, so. That's just not my favorite style of horror film. But the mazes have always been like good quality. So as much as I don't like the content, I can't hate on the mazes.
Yeah,
I would say, you know, we're doing a thing right now, and it was your top 10 horror films. None of the Texas Chainsaws were in my top 10, but these mazes are in my top 10. So I agree to the fact that I actually do like these mazes more than the movies themselves. Nice. My only gripe with these mazes is you'll go through one room and Leatherface is like 6'7", 300 pounds. You'll go to the next room, like the immediate next room, and he's 5'2", 130 pounds.
Oh, wow.
It takes you out of the it takes you out of the moment a little bit.
He lost a little weight between rooms.
Like somebody that they cannibalized had worms or something. I don't
know. Parasites eating from the inside.
I'm also pretty stoked for The Exorcist in a soundstage. I'm like the only one in our circle that thinks that property in a soundstage will be better than what it was like a few years ago in the tent.
I do agree with that.
Everybody I don't know.
No, I totally agree with that because when we went through The Exorcist the first time, it was still daylight.
That's true. Very good point. We were griping
about how we loved it and we had a lot of fun, but the fact that we could see daylight through the top of the tent really took us out of it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. And I do remember liking The Exorcist a lot, and I remember coming out of it like sweaty because I was like, God, that was so intense. Yeah. It's like I was watching Cops. But yeah, it was odd kind of coming around each corner and seeing everything because it was just outside. So yeah. In terms of that, yes. In terms of if they're going to change anything since the last time they did it, I don't know.
I did Orlando's whatever year that was. I didn't get to see Hollywood for whatever reason. I don't even know why. And I was thinking about this, and it kind of felt like a fever dream. Like it was like, I don't know. It was really disorienting and kind of like abstract at times. But it kind of felt like you were being possessed yourself, actually. That's the best way to describe it. I'm curious on why they're bringing back something they did so recently. So I'm really curious to see how both coasts enhance both Texas and Exorcist, because it's so both those are so recent in our minds. It's kind of interesting to bring them back so soon.
Yeah.
I got a bold prediction. You're going to see a preview of sorts for the new fucking Exorcist trilogy, Universal.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
It's a trailer maze.
It's coming out on Peacock. You're totally right. That's why they're doing it.
Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth, James.
Yeah. I just realized. I was like, what did I say? I was like, okay. Is it Peacock?
I said pee.
A year ago, Peacock teased the fucking like, what's the shitty Disney Plus documentary thing that we said that the girl drives us crazy on? Behind the Attraction.
Oh, Behind the Attraction. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, it's so rough. Jimmy and I were going on about that on Twitter.
Well, I think everybody expected it to be like the other documentary they did.
The cool thing about that show is that you have someone talking the whole time you're trying to make a point. Or listening to you. Go ahead, Gabe.
No, you're going to. I didn't say anything. I'm
trying to say anything.
He's simulating the experience of watching the show.
Oh, God, it's horrible. That's so annoying.
It's like you have, like, we're going on a little tangent on this, but it's just there's this narration that is like mocking everything that everyone's saying. It's like Dory, like Ellen DeGeneres Dory, trying to make jokes. It's insulting to the Imagineers, it's insulting to the audience. Like, this. They really failed on this one. But there's so much good content in there that you're like, my brain is annoying me. But you get to hear directly from the Imagineers' mouths about what they built.
I have conflicting emotions.
Yeah. It makes you wish so badly you had the audio file so you could cut the light.
I just want to mute that track. I'm like, it doesn't serve any purpose. It's almost like, it's like riff tracks or something. Like, Anyways, rant over. But there was a show like that was going to be on Peacock. I don't for what.
Weird.
Well, no, they were going to do like a Behind the Attraction of Halloween Horror Nights, and they did that whole.
They were on Peacock.
Yeah, man, and they did like the whole teaser. Did you watch like the puppet documentary? It's like 13.
Puppet theater.
Yeah. James, did you watch this yet?
No.
It's on YouTube.
You can find it on YouTube. It's like a 13-minute mini documentary about them building this HHN house.
And I didn't even, this totally eluded me.
The rumor, like the rumor, the heavy speculative rumor last year is that like Jack the Clown, who was then going to be the icon like he is now, was going to be like the crypt keeper of this HHN documentary series. And they were going to release like all this fucking like video archive footage that they supposedly have of like walkthroughs of the houses. Wow. And
you're like blowing my mind right now, dude. How come I never heard about this?
this was like a thing that was like heavily talked about. There's like some conspiracy theorists that thought that it was actually one of the guys, I won't even say the name, but I'll say behind the board game, the card game on Twitter right now. One of those gentlemen behind the card game, if you follow my page at all, may have been the
one. I think both James and I are thoroughly confused, and so is Nikki.
That
drop another clue or tell us afterwards.
I'll tell you it. But if you know Halloween Horror Nights and you know card games, you'll know one of the people like behind Halloween Horror Nights is behind a card game right now.
Okay. It sounds vaguely familiar to me, but you'll have to connect the dots offline.
And so within that circle of that game, who created that game, the rumor is the information about this documentary got leaked. And so everybody was talking about this documentary possibly being the way that the content was going to be revealed. Well, obviously now we're like surpassed that. We're almost to a month away, which is fucking wild to think about. So they're not going to release the mazes by the show coming out weekly. They don't have enough time. So the answer is if they do have all this footage, like it'd be kind of dope to be able to fucking see it like on Peacock or whenever Universal, like if this is real, it'd be cool. I think that they definitely have like this archive footage, because every time they do like a special anniversary, whatever, it's like Disneyland, like they have this footage from 30 years ago. I think it'd be like super dope to be able to like go on Peacock and see the
HHN 1955.
Yeah, the parade and shit. Well, that'd be cool.
I would love to see HHN 1955.
It's probably going to be a whole bunch of crap that they can't do anymore because it's considered offensive.
I hella want to see the Undertaker maze. Like, I want to walk through that thing. That'd be dope.
Honestly, if all that stuff truly does exist, I can't imagine that they wouldn't be releasing it on YouTube like after the event is over and saying like, hey, remember that maze you just went through? Here's all this behind the scenes footage of a maze that you went through, and relive it now and hear the creatives talk about it and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, man.
You know, it makes a lot of sense. I'm sorry. I have to put the brakes on the HHN train because we've been talking about HHN a long time and I'm getting a little sad.
No.
I'm getting a little sad because we haven't talked about Scary Farm at all.
Scary Farm is back, and it looks like
it's happening, and there's scare zones.
But it looks like I dig the marketing with the conductor. Like that.
Yeah, we were literally talking about that on
our show.
Yeah, he started out as just like this inconspicuous, like little character, you know, that was just stand by his train, and he like took on a life of his own. And I just love that he's like as close to, you know, as not as to like an icon right now.
Yeah, it feels very Horror Nights ish. Yeah. Oh, God, I said I didn't want to get away from that. It feels very Horror Nights in terms
of. What's this Horror Nights? Let's talk about it.
I've never heard of that. And creating an icon, you know. And Nuss doesn't really do that anymore. I think the last one that they had was The Overlord, which I think was their last.
You wouldn't consider the Green Witch?
Yeah, I would consider the Green Witch one in the 40th. Yeah, so I would consider the Green Witch that. But I meant kind of just like a general icon. But the Green Witch has started kind of like that trend of sticking with Knott's Berry Farm and Knott's lore as, you know, they kind of build that out. But I love the conductor bits that they were doing in the two preview videos that they've done so far. And teasing a new scare zone. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. It looks like Prohibition or like Speakeasy or some kind of something like
that. Yeah, I got I definitely got 20s vibes just simply because that whole area used to be the Roaring 20s area. And then they kind of shine the light on the sign that says Blind Tiger and you hear a party kind of going on. It gave me 20s vibes big time. So we'll see what it is. I'm not quite sure, but it's exciting to have something in that pathway area because monsters don't usually go over there anymore. So actually having something there is exciting.
Isn't it a hanging over?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't remember if that. Oh yeah, it's still vague. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they hung the lawman, and then the pandemic happened.
No, but then like it said, RIP the hanging.
Yeah, but at the same time, the hanging has always been this irreverent, ridiculous, balls to the wall, never takes itself seriously type show. To have this ending that is so drastically, tonally different, I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I wouldn't have believed it either, but then the pandemic, and I don't know if they'll bring it back this year. it might take a while to come back.
I'm like, yeah, we don't want to hear a bunch of like COVID jokes.
Right?
Yeah, we're over that. We're over the COVID jokes. No more of those. But I do have to say that I watched today, what's it called? It's just a POV of the rope drop of Scary Film from 2019. I cried. I cried like a baby. Oh. And I'm just like, I'm going to be a fucking mess when I go when it opens up. Like on September 16th, when the first night of opening of Scary Farm, I'm going to be a mess. An emotional, quirky mess.
The thing about Scary Farm, we always have like somebody doing a podcast for our channel every year, but I'm not necessarily getting to go to Scary Farm every year. So the whole icon thing, like you guys said, the Green Witch, I think the 40th year was the last time I was actually there at Scary Farm. But in between that year and now, I have done up here, we have Great America, which is like sister to Knott's. And
it's called Haunt. Ours used to be called Haunt, and then they kind of used that term for everything in the name. That's why we're Scary Farm now, but all the fans still call it Haunt over here, but I know what you're talking about.
But we just have the witch, and she looks just like the Green Witch, but she's just a regular witch.
A regular old witch.
Yeah, and it's like just like an old white lady with a fake nose on her face. And
that's odd.
Yeah, but she talks about the Green Witch in the opening ceremony almost.
Oh, weird.
That's fun.
Yeah, like almost every year, like she mentions her sister. She mentions the Green One or whatever.
My sister, the Green One.
Yeah, like abundantly clear that they reference. But I've never, every time I've gone to Berry Farm, there's been like no Easter egg I've ever seen about Great America at all.
Yeah, no
there never will be. There's
none. I mean, the Great America might be talking about like the Wicked Witch of the West from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
I want to say, though, as far as ScaryCon, I mentioned they didn't announce anything, but I just want to make it clear that even if they like literally put on the same exact event from 2019, I don't
I'd be there. Yeah.
I'd be so happy. 2019 was so good.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Awesome.
Like first walk, like I remember going through Curse of Calico.
Oh, so
the first time. It's like walking through that the first time is like watching a movie with a massive twist for the first time. That's what it feels like. So every subsequent visit to whatever it is, it will never feel the same as that first experience through. And I just remember leaving that maze with my hands on my head, just like that. It was perfect. It was perfect. It was everything I wanted to be. Oh my God. I got emotional. I was like, Nikki, am I going to cry?
I didn't know. So good. I wasn't with you the first time.
Yes, you were. Weren't you?
No, I only went one time in 2019.
Oh, so my experience of almost crying was like the 10th time going through.
Yeah, probably. maybe you cried every time. I don't know. But I would actually like a redo of 2019 because I only went once and I had food poisoning, so I left at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, so Nikki actually thought she was really drunk. She's like, how did I drink so much and I'm throwing up already? Okay, so
we went to the pre-scary buffet and I had one glass of wine and I was like hurting. I was like out of commission. I thought I was going to go barf in the bathroom and I would literally like went back in my seat at the table and I was like, I'm so ashamed of myself. I'm like, I can't handle one glass of wine.
Oh my gosh. No,
I had food poisoning. But yeah, so no, I would love a redo of 2019.
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah, that Curse of Calico House. I think I went the first night, and then I went the last night of Scary
Friday. I think you and I did a very similar thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was there on the last night as well. Yeah,
we hung out. You forgot about our time together?
Yes, I did. Sorry.
I mean, I think that's what we all fanatics do. That's the, like, it's always good to get, like, how did this start? Especially the new mazes. Like, mm-hmm. you know, then how did they evolve over the season? That's, like, the best, like, optic to have for us that like to go all the time. And it's also fun just to go for fun because we're so busy just covering stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not even taking a photo. Like, I'm just going to have fun and it's all going to live in my head. I'm not going to post it out this on Instagram.
I mean, honestly, some of my favorite times of going to Scary Farm is just sitting in the middle of a scare zone and just watching
people
things
watching.
Happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the best memories I have of going to, well, one, for any haunt event, to be fairly honest, but because I go to Scary Farm the most, obviously I have a lot of memories.
Yeah.
And one of them that sticks out pretty good is I was sitting in Carnival, which usually I sit in Ghost Town, but I changed my mind this visit. I was like, I'll sit in Carnival. This sounds like fun. I want a good laugh. This is great. I think there was a lead who was a monster that night who usually doesn't go out, and he was doing this bit where he was a blind clown and all the other clowns are trying to help him scare people. So say he was like kind of like walking with his arms out like this with like a cane in his hand and there's a person on the right hand side and he was going to go scare them. He would jump to the left and all the other clowns would be like, oh, it's okay. You didn't get him. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Or like he would have like a cup of change just like walking up to guests who were sitting down like eating, just like asking for change. Things like that. It was probably some of the best improv things that I've seen in Carnival ever. And like, I was laughing so hard.
That's what I love about Knott's. I love how much fun they let their scare actors have.
A lot of freedom.
So much freedom. Like, I remember one time the Ghost Town, I was probably like 2017, something like that. The Ghost Town scare actors, you know, you have your usual ones like Death and, you know, all the ones that are there like almost every night. And this one night, it was like towards the end of the season. And I guess they just decided to all put on rat noses.
They all had rat prosthetics.
But same makeup. Yeah, same everything else. And they just went around calling themselves the Rat Pack that night. And it was so funny. Like, that's what I love about Scary Farm. Like, I would take Scary Farm over, I would say, Halloween Horror Nights, either coast. You know, because I just love how much fun everything is. You know? And, like, Orlando, Halloween Horror Nights Orlando, like, is like a very, very, very close second because I get that same vibe from the scare zones. I just realized I think I'm much more about the scare zones than the actual mazes.
Wow. Well, yeah, because I feel it's like the scare zones really gives it a certain specific feel and atmosphere.
It comes alive. Like the whole event comes alive with the scare zones. You know, you wait in the lines, you wait in the queues for however long for the mazes and you go through and you have fun, but it's a very fleeting moment. But your whole atmosphere of the whole night is the scare zones.
You know, arguably to that point, that's literally any event.
Yeah.
And I think if you were to look at all the events that we consider our favorites or the years that we consider our favorite, it's probably because the lineup was good and the scare zones were really good.
Mm-hmm. I think both have to be on point for a fantastic year to happen.
Another event that we really like that's probably never going to come back ever again.
Don't say it.
You know I'm going there.
You're
crushing
the mood.
I'm sorry. No, but I have to say
this is an episode about what we're excited for.
This is hope.
But, no, I'm just going to say it because it's a positive thing about the
event. This is hope. This is hope.
Queen Mary's Dark Harbor.
I know. It's so sad because the Queen Mary's is in disrepair.
Yeah. So the reason why we love that event was, one, the mazes on the ship were so scary, but the environment outside was so fun. Mm-hmm. And the monsters had a lot of fun, which is very reminiscent of Scary Farm in terms of the kind of tone that they kind of wanted to have every now and again.
Yeah, which, so, speaking of the sad little stepsister that we haven't even mentioned yet, Six Flags Fright Fest. I love their scare zones.
Their scare zones are really damn
good. I love their slider show.
About Six Flags Fright Fest. Yeah, I've got some stories about fucking Fright Fest.
The battle wounds.
Fright Fest scare zones are really fun.
They are. You have to get into them. They're mazes.
And they try things that are different too, which I respect. You know, they did that Damned in Disguise change before your eyes, where, like, throughout the night the monsters would change.
I feel like that statement needs to have an asterisk by it.
Well, because at least they tried something
different. Only at Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Yeah.
At least they tried something different.
Yeah.
But also the zone on the hill is really good. You know, the zone at the entrance is really, really good. There's a lot of really good scary zones at Fright Fest.
Fright Fest has been announced for this year, right?
No, not officially, but they've been posting a bunch of, like, we're hiring monsters, come scare with us.
Okay, maybe that's what I saw. Okay,
that's how I read the announcement. In that voice.
They're coming to the Midsummer Scream thing.
Oh, maybe that's what I saw. And then I just thought that I missed an announcement or whatever. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, no, there was no announcement. Oh, by the way, I do have to say, I pointed this out to Nikki because I was watching old YouTube videos of ours, and I did a YouTube video for Queen Mary's Dark Harbor 2019. Mm-hmm. So that was actually the year that, like, our car got broken into and, like, my camera got stolen and stuff. And I was like, I'm still going to have a good time. We're going to have a blast. I'm not going to let it ruin it. It was probably one of the best nights at Queen Mary that we've ever had. Little did we know that it was going to be our last. But I remember sitting at, like, one of the bar areas, and the captain, like, came up, like, right over my shoulder. You know, he was being this captain weird, like, creepy self and stuff. And we were talking about how that was the anniversary. I think at the time it was the 10th anniversary of the event. And I was like, what now? And he goes, ah, it's all downhill from here. I'm like, yeah, so you might as well just call it quits, right?
Wow, Gabe. Thanks.
Gabe jinxed it.
I totally jinxed it, guys. My bad. Whoops.
I will say this. Our buddy Omar comes on one of our seasonal shows, co-host that has slid at Queen Mary for a few years. A lot of his friends come up here. A friend of ours owns a haunted house, and then they do, like, a Christmas haunt. And those Queen Mary guys will come up in the wintertime and do his Christmas haunt for him on the weekend. And jokingly, the last time they were up here, they had said if they were never working for the Queen Mary, they would go to Not Scary Farm.
So, snap.
So I'm curious as to Queen Mary has sadly fallen under disrepair. That sucks because that event was always a lot of fun.
One of the few haunts we go to that's actually in a haunted place.
And
using real stories to develop characters for the event. And it was just different. It was different, and I appreciated it for it. Not gonna lie, I got a little tired of the find our bar in the maze that was littering every maze. It's like, okay, I'd rather find – you're basically telling me to find the maze in the bar at this point. Like, that's what it feels like.
It was fun.
I'm trying to make some money, Gabe. Come on.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was fun the first few times, and then all of a sudden it became like, how many bars can we shove in a maze?
Yeah.
And it just became over the top. But overall, I'm going to miss their presence in haunt season this year. There's definitely going to be a void that's going to be, need to be filled with their absence for sure.
I wonder if they're. I'm sorry. Okay, so I wonder if they're coming. Going to do the thing in Orlando again. In 2019, they did Dark Horizons. Yeah.
I haven't heard anything.
Maybe.
Which one of our team members covered that. I didn't get to the and he absolutely loved it.
I had somebody cover it for us, and I immediately asked for an apology because he just got really drunk and didn't do very good coverage.
They serve good drinks.
It's their fault.
Yeah.
They were very strong drinks.
Yeah.
It's fucking Jack Sparrow and shit. Like,
yeah, pretty much. Our Instagram stories got like more and more just like unwatchable.
Unwatchable. And the thing is that like our friend who did it screams when he gets scared, like legit screams. And I don't mean just like a single scream. Like he lets out like a sequence of like three or four screams in a row when he gets scared. And so it was just a constant stream of like Braille at the top of the Instagram stories of just like things happening to him. I guess it was entertaining to us because we knew him, but for anybody tuning in, it's like, what the fuck is happening? Just a constant, just constantly. It's funny now. Yeah. I was really mad at the time, but it's funny now.
I can tell you, you know, as bad as that is, I want to say my most embarrassing thing that we've had happen on my channel for haunt season. There's a haunt up here that is like at an old like fairgrounds that when the fall hits right, like this place is straight out of like a Goosebumps fucking book. Like you're like, the parking lot area has all these like old trees, like an orchard style, and the fog from the Bay Area starts to like creep in at nighttime. And then out like in this field, like 30 yards away from where you park, centered like in this ring, are like these seven haunted houses. And it's like this dark carnival, and there's fucking fire shooting everywhere. Like it's fucking wild.
That sounds cool.
And we are very friendly to all kinds of, shall we say, supplements when it comes to enjoying the whole thing. And I may or may not.
Something you pick up from GMC?
Yeah, totally.
Your men's daily vitamins?
Yeah.
Or women's daily vitamins. Sorry, Nikki. Women's daily
all vitamins. All natural. Vitamins. I may have been enjoying those supplements a little bit too much on this particular evening, and we're going through these haunted houses at this particular moment. Like, those supplements are kicking in at a level so intensely that all I remember is going through this fucking like area, and it's a corn. It's like a corn maze, but the corn is separated enough to allow you to have to make a series of choices, like forks in the road style. And there's like one of those big ass fucking fog machines that keeps the fog really low to the ground. Yeah. And so you can see like someone is going to do that fucking indie haunted house trick where you like see them from like 10 feet away, and then they fucking duck down under the fog, and you have no fucking idea. And then the next thing you know, they like pop up like right in front of you, right? Mm-hmm. Well, my buddy Andrew sees this happen, and he just starts fucking running. And my high ass doesn't know any better, so I fucking run too. And as I'm running, like, I lose Andrew, have no idea where I'm going, and I, like, trip over my own 2 feet, hit the ground. I fucking record all this. This is on the podcast. You can find this stuff. I get up, and, like, the dude is chasing. The reason I'm running is because a guy with a chainsaw is chasing us. And as I'm fucking on the ground, you can hear on the podcast, he's just like an asshole over the top of me. I'm like, oh my God, really, guy? Like, you're not going to chase anybody else in our fucking group. Like, really? And I get through the maze, and the last thing that they have is this fucking asshole with an air cannon. And this guy. So after the chainsaw guy, you go through one more area. This guy with an air cannon blasts you for no fucking reason whatsoever. No theming, nothing. Just a guy.
Well, it sounds like there's a reason. You don't like the reason.
Like, no theming, just fucking air cannon. Poof. Get out. Okay, cool. So I get out of the maze. I'm like, fuck, my car keys fell out of my pocket.
No.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, fuck. Okay, so I got to go in, try to find them. So I'm like going in through the exit, like flashlight on my phone, like going through to the point of chainsaw guy where he's hiding. I'm like, hey, bro. I'm like, I lost my keys. He's like, oh, shit. Like, I didn't see him. Like, he's like trying to help me out. We can't find him. I'm like, he's like,
broke character. What an odd professional.
Yeah, no, he's being like a legit guy, like cool dude. He's like trying to help me out. Can't find him. He's like, fuck, I think someone's coming. I'm like, okay, shit, I'm gonna go look in the next room while you scare them. He's like, cool. Like, he's being like all like fucking like G.I. Joe. He's like, I'm gonna like scare him this way. Like, I'm gonna try to buy you time, like try to find your fucking food. Like, okay. So like I go into the air cannon room. Bro, this motherfucker just resets the air cannon constantly and just keeps blasting me constantly as I'm trying to find my keys.
And like, literally just, oh my god,
like boom, reload, boom, reload. I'm like, seriously, bro, seriously. He's like, I'm doing my job.
Oh my god,
doing my job.
Wow,
it's unapologetic.
All right, so we get to a point where they're not in the fucking maze. So I got to like call my wife. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, hey, I lost the keys. I don't know where they are. You got to leave like the side door open for me. I don't know what time we're coming home. She's like, fuck. Okay. My brother-in-law is freaking out over my, I was going to go into the guy who drove us his car to put something back or whatever. He freaked out for a while thinking that we weren't going to like be able to get back into this carnival if we left. So that was like a pretty hysterical 15-minute segment on the podcast where they talk him out.
I keep forgetting that literally all of this is on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like all of it, no editing involved.
No, we don't edit shit.
Clearly.
This
is exciting. I don't know where this is going to go.
Like, haunt season is not meant for editing. Like, interviews and like conventions and like event coverage, all that, sure, edit the shit out of that, make that as professional and sponsor standard as possible. Haunt season, we don't edit shit, dog. All that is like, that's like a cop
raw. It's like a cop.
But the long story short, after all the drama of the keys, I had left them in my buddy's car.
No.
Oh my god, you were looking for keys that were not there. Wow.
I went to Horror, this was a long time ago. I went to Horror Nights High at the beginning of the night. Obviously it wore off. I didn't take enough for it to like last the entire night, clearly. But I went pretty stoned out of my mind at the beginning of the night. And I wasn't really scared. I was more focused on the idea that they used rocks to build a maze. And it was like obviously they're fake, but like me and my high stakes, like, guys, these are real. And they used real rocks to build this castle. That's insane. And I just kept talking about rocks and how the rocks were so important to the thematics to the maze and why it was so important that they used it. My buddy's just like, yeah, sir, thanks, man.
You betcha, buddy.
Keep on talking about those rocks, buddy.
Bro, there's one in Sacramento that we went to that we covered that was at a train station. And
a train station?
Train station.
An active train station?
No, no.
I was like, wow, you guys are dangerous in there.
You're scared you got to move. The Amtrak's coming through. Get the fuck out. Tickets, please.
Tickets, please. The first maze that's like inside the station is, if you're going to like rank independent haunts on a certain level, you'd say is like a 3 out of 10. So you're like, oh man, the whole thing's
that's
not
pretty gonna, bad.
Yeah. You're like, the whole thing's not going to be lovely. And you do the next one. The next one's like a ghost townsy one. It's like a 6 out of 10. And then you come to this other one, and this maze goes under the train station. And it is like, go down these stairs, and the stairs, like, it looks like straight up Phantom of the Opera. Like, the stairs are lit with candles. And then you come to like these tunnels that are like those circled tunnels that glow if you just have the candles on the ground. So that's lighting your way. And you come to the end of, like, I want to say you went left, right, left. And then the lights just stopped, and you saw this dude in like a morph suit who kind of looked like an alligator. And the light fades away.
Like, are you talking about like a ghillie suit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And the lights fade away, and that thing recognizes that you see it, and you have enough recognition that it sees you, and the light goes out, and you have to feel your way through a sensory maze.
Oh, wow.
Weird.
That seems so intense.
It does seem really intense.
That was fucking intense. It was intense.
No, it wasn't intense. It was in a train station. Come on.
Hey-o.
There's honestly like a lot of really good independent haunts that kind of pop up that, you know, kind of just happen upon. Like, one of the things that I think we did once that I actually really, really enjoyed. Remember there was that corn maze and like this big clown maze that we went to?
Yeah.
Was that at Moore Park College?
No, it was Pierce College. And they stopped doing it. And I'm so sad because that was really fun.
It was really elaborate. And it was like a legit corn maze with monsters.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Yeah. One of my fond like memories happened there where you and I were going through a maze and there was this group of super annoying kids in front of us.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like halfway through the maze, one kid got like separated from her group, like a monster like put her in a corner and like wouldn't let her go.
Yeah, like literally put her in a corner and wouldn't let her go.
And Gabe and I are like, well, see ya. Like, we went past her. And so,
I completely forgot about the story.
And so we get out of the maze, we finish it, and then like we just see the group of kids, and they're like, "Where's Cindy? She never came out." And like a good few minutes pass, and then we hear the screaming from inside.
It's literally like the faintest of screams, like.
I think it's louder, but it never stops. She never stops, and then she screams one all scream. The way down the ramp out of the.
and it's not just a ramp; it's out the door,
zigzag,
like zigzaggy ramp.
Yeah.
One but, long scream.
But that was it was a fun little, almost like half.
Half legit, half not legit.
No, it was like half hayride, half like buy your pumpkins for Halloween here. Oh, and look, and here are three actually really good haunted houses. One is a corn maze, like made out of the actual cornfield in the Pierce College like agricultural center. Like, it was really, really good quality.
As much as I love like the legit haunts, you know, at Fright Fest, Queen Mary's, Scary Farm, Horror Nights, things like that. There's something so refreshing about some of these pop-up haunts like that, where they pull shit that you wouldn't be able to do at a horror night, things like that inevitably are just so well done. And they just mess with people because they're allowed to.
Yeah.
And it's just a blast. And I love these independent little haunts that pop up. You know, either if it's like a home haunt, like Rotten Apple 907. Is that 907? Is that the number? Rotten Apple Yeah, it's a 3-digit number at the end of Rotten Apple.
For sure.
that's in Burbank, or, you know, something else a little bit crazier like the one at Pierce College. Those kinds of haunts I really, really enjoy.
Burbank has a few. Burbank does have a few in a concentrated area.
There's Backwoods Maze. Uh-huh. There's Rotten Apple. There's a good amount. There's also a lot of yard displays in SoCal, too. So.
Right on, man. The L.A. Halloween scene, hopefully, is as long as everything can stay. I think if we even if we just maintain where we are right now and we don't get any better, but we just don't get any worse and we just stay where we are right now, we'll actually have Halloween.
Legit question for literally everybody sitting here. Do you think that any event is going to get canceled because of COVID-19? This year, do you think that anything is going to get canceled? I don't worry about being a Debbie Downer, whatever it is. I want an honest opinion. Do you think anything's going to get canceled? Nikki, you said no.
I don't think it is.
You don't think at all?
No, I don't, because I don't think that, because like such a big portion of people are vaccinated, I don't think the stats are going to get to where they were when everything was canceled last year. So I think like you said, I think everything is going to stay relatively the same. And so things are just going to stay open.
Yeah. I don't know. I get concerned when it comes to like Netflix and things like that, those bigger companies that are involved in some of these mazes at Horror Nights. Like, I get worried that maybe they don't want to be involved in an event where, you know, potentially less people are going or something because of COVID-19, and they just pull the property for some reason.
Not this late in the game. I think we're good.
What do you guys think?
Me, I really think I can't answer. It's kind of sad. I feel like every day is a new adventure, but I feel like the determining factor would be like major things being canceled or shut down. You know, I think even back to the beginning of the pandemic, I think the moment for people like us when we're like, oh wow, this is serious, is when fucking Disneyland is closing, right?
Yeah. that's a big thing.
Before that, you're like, oh, this is kind of rough, let's tough it out, whatever. But I never thought Disneyland was going to close. And then when that happened, you're like, oh, you know, that puts things in perspective for people like us. You
know? Yeah.
I think, to be fairly honest, I think for anybody that puts things in perspective, because I think anybody understands that Disneyland's open every single day of the week, a month, year, you know what I mean?
They never close. They've only closed like twice ever.
Yeah, like two or three times in their existence. So I think for any living human being, the idea that Walt Disney World and Disneyland were closed was a big deal.
For sure. So,
we'll see if anything gets canceled. I couldn't even speculate. I honestly can't. I have no idea. I thought we were doing good, right?
Yeah.
And then we're not. So.
We were.
It's really interesting because the what James just said, that feeling of Disneyland closing, I remember that feeling and thinking to myself, because right before Disneyland closed, Newsom actually came out and said, yada, 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 but theme parks are the exception.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I remember thinking, like, because I had a vacation with my aunt and uncle booked to go to Disney on the 21st. And I remember thinking, we're cool. Like, we're still going to be able to go. And right after Newsom said Disneyland has the exception, it was only probably 20 minutes. Disneyland announced, hey, we're actually shutting down for 2 weeks. And that feeling of shock and like, holy shit, the comfort was, at least we'll still have Halloween Horror Nights. It was going to be the fucking 30th year, and we were going to Florida, and we were going to party for HHN 30. Guess what? That got taken away. Then, like, here we are, not even fucking where we were, like, last year, that feeling of uncertainty, like, we're fucking so confident, like, so close. And then out of nowhere, here comes Delta variant. Now we're almost 30 days away
yep.
Florida did not report their COVID cases. It was weird. They didn't report COVID cases for like 3 days. And then yesterday at like 12 or whenever they get published, 38,000 COVID cases were reported. What I can only imagine was the mass sum from like the last Thursday to that Tuesday total.
Right.
The same day, like 3 hours later, the news report broke that Universal hired 2,000 employees solely to staff Halloween Horror Nights.
That's crazy. That's absolutely nuts.
If you had any thought in the back of your mind, look at the number, because you know they fucking look at that number every day. There's no way that they do not. If you had any thought in looking at that number in the back of your mind at however big that head table is, hey, we're going to have to cancel Halloween Horror Nights, you don't fucking put a press release talking about hiring 2,000 people.
Like, yeah, but at the same point, don't you think that they probably already had that set up and somebody just potentially didn't stop it from posting?
I don't know, dog.
I mean, think about it. The houses get leaked every year. What stops them from accidentally posting a press release about 2,000 people getting hired? You know what I mean? And I mean, even at that point, there could be good faith in hopes that the event actually happens. I'm not saying it's going to get canceled, but, you know, in their eyes, it's good faith that, hey, we're going to still go for it. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're still aiming for this goal. So, I mean, who knows?
At that point, if you're Universal, then do you say anything to kind of backtrack yourself a little bit?
I don't know. I feel like Universal probably wouldn't backtrack. I feel like it's an all or nothing situation. Like, they're either going to say, here are the mazes that we're going, here it's open, we're going for it, or they're going to say, we're actually not going to do it this year. Yeah, guys.
Because they don't want to put any hint of doubt out there that would deter ticket sales just in case.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a really freaking good point that I didn't even think about.
Yeah.
They don't want to deter people from buying because, I mean, they're still. I mean, think about it. They don't want to fucking postpone another year because that's a whole nother set of tickets that they're going to have to honor the next year. Then they can't sell whatever those amount of tickets are. Then they can't sell those for that year again because that's what's happening this time. That's actually a really good point, Nikki. That's why I have you around.
That's why I'm here.
I want to.
For the record, we're recording this July 28th. 2021. This is going to be released closer to haunt season. So,
okay.
Regardless,
oh, yeah. Oh, it's going to be a whole different world by the time this comes out.
Huh? That's, right. What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. For the record, we're basically calling our shop right now. That when is your prediction? Because we're recording this on a Wednesday night. Typically, HHN news breaks Thursday, whether it be good or bad. Are you saying like tomorrow morning we're going to find something out either way?
I personally, I guess everybody kind of shared their opinions on whether or not things are going to get canceled. I haven't really shared my thoughts on it yet. I don't think they're going to cancel it. I think or any event for that matter. I think what they're going to do is they're going to try to make every event work under the circumstances that were given. If that means social distancing again, then that's going to happen. If that means masks again, then that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not it's indoor all the time, outdoor, you're fine, or literally masks all day, every day, or day, it's going to happen. So that's what I think is going to happen. I think we're going to continue to get maze announcements. I think we're going to continue to get scare zone announcements. I think it's going to continue to happen because I don't think it's going to get canceled. I mean, and as of today's date when we're recording, there is scare zone decorations going up at Horror Nights in Orlando, and maze construction continues to go on in Hollywood. So if anything, that's an indicator.
Yeah, the one thing I want to point out is that I work in the live events industry, and essentially the way that our company has decided to look at the fourth quarter, which is when haunt season is like, we don't know what's going to happen, but we just have to we just have to pick a lane. Either we're going to prepare for it, everything to be turned on, or we're not. And we chose to prepare for it. And yeah. I think that's kind of whatever. Yeah, that's probably what Horror Nights is doing, and or Universal in general.
They're just going to have to pivot based on what's going on.
Yeah. So they don't want to, as far as the messaging of like putting that press release out, even though the cases are up, just be like, we just got to keep going as though we hope it's going to be okay. And if it doesn't happen, then that,
then we'll have to pull the trigger when we have to.
Yeah. You're no better off than you were before. At least you're like working towards something. That's kind of our mentality at our company. So I kind of feel like that's probably the same mentality here.
Yeah.
And then to add to your ticket buying thing, you don't want to deter anyone from, second guessing buying tickets, even though there's people like me that aren't. So there's already enough probably people like don't really know what to do, so they're just gonna have to keep. I think the marketing is just gonna keep pushing forward.
Yeah, agreed.
But we'll see if it happens.
watch in like 3 weeks from now, the front page of Halloween Horror Nights for Hollywood, they're gonna all the monsters that are the lineup are all gonna be wearing masks. Leatherface is going to be a human mask. The bent neck lady is going to have a mask. Reagan's going to have a mask that has like a green stain on it.
Oh my God, it's going to be like bed sheets, but like a green throw up stain. It'll be like a Nickelodeon splats thing.
Yeah, exactly. right in the center.
You'll be able to buy them all too. Like you'll be able to buy all the HHH.
Of course. Wear your favorite icons mask.
I don't know why they haven't done that yet. It's shocking to me.
Honestly, you're right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know.
What?
Say it. They don't want to mass produce something that, will be obsolete and Disney, like as soon as the mask mandate went away, started like really off. Discounting it's their 75% off. Yeah, they did that a bit early. So.
Sure. I feel like masks are going to be here forever. I think it's a good way to fight flu season at least.
Yeah. We only had one little cold that our daughter brought home from daycare. Like we've been like basically cold free for a year and a half.
She brought home a cold and we're like, it's COVID.
It was not. It was the sniffles.
It was the sniffles.
Yes.
The mask market thing, the value of masks is fucking wild. Like the Disney thing, like they sell them for $10, then they sell them for $2. Pretty soon they're going to sell them for $15. Oh, then by like next March, they're going to be down to $1.99. Summer, knock on wood, it'll be down to like $1 for two. They'll be at the Disney outlet like fucking crazy. Maybe then by like next fall, fucking $20 again. Like knowing,
didn't we just buy some at the Disney outlet? It was like a pack of three for like $2.
Yeah, it was really, really cheap. Yeah. But what's gonna happen? All the Disney fans are gonna be like, "It's so expensive. Disney is ripping us off. It's the worst thing ever. Here's my money."
Yeah.
I love this voice. I want to hear more of this character.
Disney's the freaking worst. What are you doing, guys? I'm never going to give you my money anymore for any events. How dare you do that? Here's my wallet and credit card and social security number.
That's a whole other rant. The people that shell out money and we keep complaining.
Disney sucks.
Vote with your wallet. Here's
my money. Yeah, exactly, right? I hate Boo Bash. Boo Bash is the worst. I hope it dies and rots in hell. Here's my wallet. I want three tickets for three different nights.
Like, I can't believe I can't get a Boo Bash season pass.
This is bullshit.
I need to be in it to realize how much I hate it.
I needed to spend my money before realizing
how much I dislike it. Well, I can respect that. They want to firsthand let you know how much they hate it instead of just speculating that they'll hate it.
Respect.
You spent 6 months telling us how bad you're going to hate it. I want to hate it every fucking night I can.
All the candy is almond joys? What the fuck?
Dude, any chocolate during in Orlando and during... That's so scary. You just throw that away because
it's all just one amassed piece of candy at that point. The size and shape of the bag that you're holding it in.
Yeah, I think that's anytime I went to Macy's, it's so scary. I just threw out all the chocolate. I was like, that is not chocolate anymore.
The you know, the one thing I would say that I would almost wager like 90% of the HHN community, because if you really solely broke it down, the truly like year-round loud and proud HHN LA fans are few and far in between. Like you gotta, you kind of gotta search to find like loud and proud HHN Hollywood fans that like talk about HHN Hollywood year round and post about it year round.
Yeah.
Orlando people.
It's almost non-existent. I can't even think of anyone that does that.
Yeah.
Right. Orlando, that should exist like all the time. People are talking sure. about HHN Orlando.
I think it's because of the icons probably, right? There's so much to discuss. Type, no.
Dude, it's hands down because of the icons, but also because of the type of culture that that kind of inevitably creates, because there's so much backstory, because there's so much history, because there's original mazes, and because there's that care and thought put into those stories, people have a lot of things to talk about. And during the off season, you know, the creators of HHN hide shit in plain sight for those fans to find all the time, you know, and create little, you know, little store pop-ups that like a room feels like an HHN house.
Like the, yeah, the tribute stores
and things like that. For all intents and purposes, when Horror Nights ends here, that's pretty much it. You know, we don't have any of that culture that builds because of, you know, original content. Yeah. It's just once the event's over, it's over. You know, and I could defend ours to the end of the earth, but I can't talk about it year round just because there really isn't that much content to talk about.
Yeah. I will say that it is pretty wild the fact that HHN in Florida is very distinct. That, and I do know that it comes from only getting to do it so often, being in California and doing Hollywood every year, but our Florida is like the few and far in between, so it's special. But doing even doing the tribute store, having a season pass, you know, and having DVC, we actually had a trip to Tokyo booked, and then Corona happened, so we had all these DVC points that DVC was like, "Hey, if you don't use them, you got to use them or lose them." And so we took my parents to Disney World. And so essentially we bought Universal Orlando passes. So we saw what would have been HHN tribute store. And then when we took my parents to World, we saw their Christmas tribute store. And then still on those banked DVC points, we went for Mardi Gras and saw the Mardi Gras tribute store. Every tribute store you walk into, instantly it feels like a Halloween Horror Nights house.
Yeah, for the pictures, for sure. I've never been to Orlando when it wasn't Horror Nights time, but when I see the pictures of the tribute store, I can imagine how awesome that is for local Horror Nights fans, just to get a little taste of that, like, all year long.
Yeah, it's one thing that I miss about Orlando that I wish was over here was kind of like the... it's going to sound really bad, but like kind of like that tender love and care of the event throughout the rest of the year. I wish that kind of existed here. Mm-hmm. And it really just feels like ours is treated as an event that only happens during Halloween, as opposed to it being a special curated event that that Universal Studios has, if that makes any sense.
Should have never bulldozed Van Helsing, dog. That was a good name.
No, that shit deserves to be bulldozed.
I freaking love that maze.
I'm just trying to start a fight.
Keeping Universal Monsters or whatever the fuck you want to call it, by
House of Horrors.
A maze was like, to have a year-round maze is, I think, essential.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, I guarantee you that Walking Dead maze is still sitting in there. The facade is gone. But I guarantee you. Did you see that
on the speculation map?
Yeah,
it's coming back for sure.
I was like, it's coming back, the same exact thing.
All they have to do is turn it off. They're not going to dust it off. They're just going to turn it on.
They don't even need to dust it off. It's dirty in there already, right?
Exactly.
Real dust on top of fake dust.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, but to your point, I enjoyed going through it on a regular park day just to get that little taste of Horror Nights, even though it wasn't like the most amazing like maze ever. It still is that little, just a little, you know, all the lighting cues and the the jumps. You're like, oh, this is just a little
cute.
Taste.
This is real nice. I love this.
A little taste. But it's usually like parents that bring their like 4-year-olds who they don't know what they're bringing them into, and they're that's like almost every single time I've gone to, that's exactly what happens.
So, I mean, what's The Walking Dead?
Let me let me leave you with a 2-part question.
All right.
For each of you, you get to pick. And since we're all in California, it has to be a California attraction. One event this year.
Adult-ton.
Wow.
Hands down, no questions asked. Nikki rolled her eyes again.
Judgment-free zone. Judgment-free zone.
Right on. Then,
but you get to pick like one haunt to do this year. And haunt can be like a full blown event, like Not Scary Farm. So you get to do Not Scary Farm, everything that encompasses Not Scary Farm. You get to do it to the point like you can do it like a season pass. You get to do you can do it as many nights as you want, but you only get to do this event. And you are granted the wish to bring one thing from that event's past back from the dead. Show or maze. So it's this year. So if I pick Halloween Horror Nights, I'm taking this Exorcist Texas Chainsaw Halloween for Halloween Horror Nights, but I can resurrect one thing from the dead. So if I wanted, I could bring back Bill and Ted's Halloween Adventure if I really wanted it. And I could add them to what is this year's Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
With that being said, James, what do you pick? What would be your event?
All right. So does the event have to be like officially happening this year?
No, we can say something that was, you know, either not officially announced and or canceled.
So okay. AdultCon's not happening this year. So we know which way James is going.
No, that's the way you're going. Yeah, you shook your hand already. I kind of just ruined or the surprise of what I'm going to say, but I'm going to have to say Dark Harbor. And because I love, as Gabe went into too, I love the backstory of all the characters and their mazes and the fact that they're based on real incidents. And it's so, and going into real environments that are just creepy on their own, there's just really nothing like it, you know. And I'm pretty bummed that it might never come back. What would I bring back? What was the name of that maze? I know the character, but I'm drawing a blank on the
what
name
character
of the maze.
Are you talking about?
Graceful Gales maze.
Graceful Gales was Soulmate.
Yes, yeah.
But like the first one.
Yeah.
Like the first original Soulmate.
Actually, I like both of them. I loved how they changed it. I thought the first one was a little more intense and creepier, but the second one had Graceful Gale, more interactivity with Graceful Gale. So since this is my fantasy, I'm going to combine them both.
Oh Lord Christ.
And I will. Well, she does flirt with me, so I guess there is a fantasy element to it as well. Actually, I just was watching old videos of that we did, and there's this video of Graceful Gale trying to pick me up in front of my partner Shannon, and Shannon's not really having it. Which is really funny. I love the look, the design of Graceful Gale. I love her story, and I really enjoyed how creepy the first version of her maze was. The second one, it wasn't made out of it. It was just a little too different, I guess. I don't know. But I think that's gonna be my choice. Nice. Go with Dark Harbor.
Really? Okay.
Bring Soulmate back.
I think I'm going to go. There's no other choice for me except not Scary Farm. But I think the one thing I would bring back would be, all logistical issues aside, I think I would bring back the first year of Infected, where we got to run amok in Camp Sleepy.
Yeah, totally.
Because that was just so much fun.
I remember there was like a moment where you kind of stood there and they were like looking at a map, and there's obviously like a drop door and a zombie would pop through.
Yeah.
But I remember he was kept talking about like, we needed to get to this area. And I was like, good, it's right next to a AAA. And everyone just like started laughing so hard because it just broke the tension immediately. Running through Camp Snoopy, running amok, definitely fun.
Yeah, it was so much fun. It was just so different and just such a departure from what you normally do at a haunt like that. And it was just so unique.
But you're okay with losing the hollows for that?
Yes.
Oh, dang.
100%.
Okay. Just asking. Damn, yeah. Ruthless.
Burn it with fire. Bring back.
Oh, my God.
Bring wow. back.
And violent. Jeebus. Okay, now.
Well, that's my pick.
All right. I think, to no one's surprise, I would choose Scary Farm in a heartbeat. Everything about that event, to me, I absolutely love from top to bottom. From the monsters in the scare zones, to the maze themes, to the type of scares, to the tonal changes, to the amazing food that they have that's only special to Scary Farm. Changes to certain rides, like changing the log ride to Halloween Hootenanny, which recently has been just an absolutely biggest breath of fresh air when it comes to that attraction. There's something really special about that event to me. And it's like how people feel about Horror Nights in Orlando, where they feel just so passionate about it. You know, that's me and Scary Farm. I feel so absolutely passionate about Scary Farm. So, and for me, a maze that I would love to see come back and potentially upgraded in today's kind of special effects and what they're capable of using is 13 Axe Murder Manor, which is one of those really long running haunt mazes that was around for a really long time. And I just remember distinctly going through it in some of my first years going to haunt and just absolutely loving it and being scared shitless going through that maze. And it was actually kind of nice because they used some of those sets inside of Trick or Treat. So it was kind of like reliving it again. But I'd love to see that maze come back in some way, shape, or form.
Right on, man. The way you talked about not Scary Farm is how I was about to talk about my pick, which would be Halloween Horror Nights. Like, as shitty as Halloween Horror Nights is on their worst year, which I honestly, you know, the way that you talk about 2019, and we had Ghostbusters and Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and we had some really dope, like, fun mazes. I still will never forgive Halloween Horror Nights for Stranger Things 2 in an unpainted demo.
Oh my God. And,
what was just the roughest Halloween Horror Nights maze I've ever been through. Like,
yep.
I'll never forgive them for it.
Penis tentacle monsters, no man, run!
I honestly think, so I don't know, have you guys screwed around with like Red Rebel or any of like the t-shirt store sites where you can like design your own tea, your own merch and shit?
I've done Tea Public.
It's the same kind of thing. Yep.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm just discovering this. So I'm like putting our like logos on shit and like designing shirts and shit. One of them, I don't know WWE you are, but Roman Reigns is The Rock's cousin and he's the champion and he is like the biggest prick right now. Like, he is an asshole. He's a heel, but he is entertaining as all hell. He's like The Rock when The Rock was a bad guy, when we were like in the fire days of WWE and WCW. Like, he's really entertaining. And he calls himself the tribal chief. He says, acknowledge your tribal chief. Well, I bring him up because the joke on our show is all I've really been doing is if you follow Horror Night Nightmares, they do their speculation map. I've just been saying, hey, man, these guys at this point in the game are like 99% correct. So I'm just going to predict what they're predicting. No one has believed me on our little panel. And guess what? Horror Nights Nightmares has been right like 99 to 100% of the time, especially in the Hollywood. There's a challenge. Yeah. There's a change. Horror Nights Nightmares has been correct. And everyone's blown away because I've been correct all the time. And it's all Horror Nights Nightmares. So whoever Horror Nights Nightmares gets their information, they know what they're talking about, dog. And we're at a point where I think this HHN is pretty much mapped out. And I think the maze that I would bring back to it that would make this HHN not like the best HHN of all time, but when you look at it, like, I think, like, you could say, like, Bill and Ted, and everyone would be like, this was a dope Bill and Ted was back here, whatever, whatever. But I honestly think if you brought back, like, Insidious, the, like, first Insidious maze.
Yeah.
That was, like, a really fucking unexpected, like, hella scary maze. And you threw it on top of, like, Texas Chainsaw and Exorcist in a soundstage. And Haunting at Hill House will be good enough. And Pandora 2 years ago was good enough.
Yeah, I like that one.
And then Halloween is whatever. So, but it, like, that's really what, like, I think that, like, that Insidious maze would make the HHN of this year go from, like, everyone being like, damn, this year's so fucking shitty, to, yeah, this year was whatever, but next year will probably be okay. And I do think that the one thing that I will say is it seems like every year that the difference between the two HHNs is significant, Hollywood always comes back and is like the improvement level is like pretty drastic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to say 25, Orlando stomped all over Hollywood. Like, Hollywood's content was garbage compared to the 25th anniversary. And I think in 27, it was pretty much the same way. Mm-hmm. And each of the following year, LA's was pretty fucking dope. Like, the first one being when American Horror Story was there the first time. And then the second time being, actually, I think it was 2019, would be the follow-up year. So you had Ghostbusters, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Mind you, that year, the year everyone complained about was like our Shining compared to Orlando's, but I actually think ours looked better than Orlando's, but that's a different story. Anyway, that's what I would do, man. I would take our this year's HHN LA and I would throw in the very first Insidious maze on there, and whatever happens, happens.
That's a very scary last words. Whatever happens.
Whatever happens, whatever happens, happens.
Now fight.
Go. I just thought of something. It's not a speculation, Matt, but I think Candyman is going to show up on either Horror Nights. Since
yeah, 100%. Oh, not this year, but next year, maybe.
You think it's going to be next year?
Yeah. I doubt it's going to be this year. If anything, next year.
What they do, like, what the common theme seems to be, at least with Hollywood, it's they either do a maze of the trailer, like Crimson Peak or Dracula right. Untold or whatever, or they wait till the next year and then do, like, a full-blown maze.
So make sure everyone's seen it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan Peele produced that, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
What is the actual studio that is doing that?
I believe it's Universal. It is Universal.
Sure. So yeah, like a 1,000,000% that's going to be at HHN next year.
I think we're going to get a Halloween Kills and we're going to get a Candyman.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
So
those are probably going to be like your two like marquee announcements, to be honest. Like,
well, if they stick with like the Netflix ones, they could do the Friday
Fear Street.
Fear Street. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Do it now. Make it now.
I think if they keep their deal going with Netflix, I don't know what their contract is. That's that it's made for it. Like I said, they had the
Fear Street absolutely made for it.
They had the Fear Street haunt pop up a few weeks ago just to give us all a little taste of that. But that could be expanded upon so much more. And
just imagine that. We talked about whenever the difference is like drastic, the difference of improvement goes towards LA. And if you like fantasy booked LA next year, you have Fear Street, Stranger Things from Netflix. So there's two. Candyman, Halloween Kills, there's four. Fucking The Walking Dead attraction is five.
I honestly think this is the last year for that, to be fairly honest.
Yeah, you just jinxed yourself. Now it's coming.
I just jinxed myself. Now it's going to come back every year.
Every year.
Every year.
Damn, so that's still, there's room for five more fucking mazes. Like,
I mean, there's a lot of horror properties that are coming out in the next year that could potentially show up at HHN. So
Chucky,
you never know.
Chucky show.
Yeah, you have another Chucky show that's coming up.
That's what's that network that's coming on?
That's is that USA?
Yes, that's Universal. Yep. So there's that.
Jordan, you know, Jordan Peele, they have the relationship of him from doing Us. I could totally see them doing, you could do a really fucking wild Antebellum maze, dog. Like, could you imagine?
I never saw that movie.
That's one of those that they're not going to touch with a 10-foot pole. kind of like when we discussed Lovecraft Country on your show.
That movie that he's got coming out, what is it? Nope or Nothing? What is the fuck?
Nope. And I don't know anything about it. It looks like there's like an alien pod in the poster.
Like the cloud with the string lights on it? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what that's about. You've seen the poster.
Nope.
Not doing it. Nope, I don't know.
The audience is split on the show, but they got the they got Jordan Peele, a working relationship with him, the property, fucking Twilight Zone, if they could work the contract out. If you had a HHN with the name Twilight Zone Maze, like Universal would love to be able to tote Twilight Zone at Halloween Horror Nights. Like, that sounds like, when you say that shit, that sounds like fucking Halloween Horror Nights. Yeah. This year, fucking at Halloween Horror Nights, the Twilight Zone.
They could only be Hollywood, though, obviously.
Dude, only at HHN Hollywood.
Yep.
Dude, you know what the entrance of it, you know what the facade of it would be? Which, come on, LA. Every time I try to like lift you up on eagle's wings, this is how you let me down gently, dog. We talked about facades earlier. I saw construction photos. Like, it's a far gone conclusion. Pandora's Box and Haunting a Hill House is on the Curious George, whatever.
Those two. Parking lot.
Right. Well, we see the facades starting to take shape. By seeing the facades, what I mean is one facade is starting to take shape, and it looks like the curio store from Curse of Pandora's Box that you walked into, which was actually a pretty dope facade, all things considered. But the other facade is just a flat piece of plywood. And I'll tell you...
Excuse me, it's multiple pieces of plywood? I'm
saying... But I'll tell you what. My snarky friend, who may not even go to HHN, jokingly saw the facade of the Orlando Haunting of Hill House maze, and he looked at me and he said, "That's cool. Do you know what LA is going to be? A black piece of plywood with a red end, and you're going to walk into the end, and you'll hear the Netflix noise theme music.
The Netflix noise.
It's so sad, but it could happen.
And then you're going to get like a black hallway and it's going to be the Haunting of Hill House theme music. And then you'll turn the corner and it'll be like one dude standing in a room. It'll be the tall man with the boulder hat. He'll be standing there. And you're like, oh. You'll be like, oh shit, I'm in the maze now. Then we'll have a black hallway and Bettneck Lady will be at the end of that black hallway.
Probably. Don't forget the loud noises and flashing lights.
But the thing that'll be super dope is there's going to be like two or three rooms that are like way bigger than you would expect them to be in a tent. And it'll be like head to toe detailed. And everybody will be – those two or three rooms, I bet you, will be better looking than like most rooms in the Orlando maze.
Yeah.
I don't know. They already released pictures of the Orlando maze and it looks absolutely stunning.
It looks really cool, but that's kind of my bold prediction because that's how it was like with Alien versus Predator. Like Alien versus Predator, when you like looked at photos and shit, like you would have thought that Orlando's was doper, but they didn't have the fucking Queen Room, which was super dope. And I'll tell you what, some of our ship rooms were pretty fucking wild. Like, I'm just saying though, like everyone wants to shit on LA, like. Just watch a couple of the Haunting of Hill House rooms. I bet you will be pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one thing they do is like their detail. Their like quality in certain things is really good. But I get like, you know, you beg the question is like, is that better having one or two like stellar, you know, set pieces, designs, you know, better than an overall like just good maze?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have rambled on long and hard about hunt season this year, but this has been a lot of fun. Before Thanksgiving and the holidays start, we'll have to do a post hunt season show and come back and talk about what you all enjoyed the most this hunt season throughout what surely looks to be a crazy fall. You know, the road to haunt season, the road to WrestleMania. You guys, are either of you going to that Midsummer Scream thing?
Yeah, I already have my hotel booked and just waiting on an email.
Wow. Okay. James,
yeah.
Are you
going? Yeah, I'm actually moderating a panel at Midsummer Scream this year. Yeah, it's the voice actors from Resident Evil Village.
So right on, man.
Awesome. But really? Even if I wasn't doing that, I always go because it's so much fun.
Yeah. Midsummer Scream puts on great events. So.
Fun fact, we first met James in line at a Midsummer Scream.
Yeah, he cut in front of us.
We had no idea who you and Shannon were.
I think it was Scarlet, wasn't it?
It was Scarlet. It was the prequel to Midsummer Scream.
We're waiting in line to get in, and him and Shannon just showed up, and we're like, hey, what's up? We're going to stand in front of you now.
Yeah.
fun fact, that was our second day living in Southern California. We didn't even have a home. We came to the tent before, went right to Scare LA.
There you go.
Priorities.
That's the way to do it. Hit the ground running.
That is commitment right there.
Good time commitment.
We gotta see these fucking haunt announcements. Like, we'll figure that other shit
out.
Yeah,
yeah. Homes, repairs. We need to know when haunts are coming.
Put yourself over Gabe and Nikki. Tell everybody where they can find Theme Park Duo.
Well, you guys can listen to us and not such a crude and crass way on our show because I don't cuss nearly as much, and if I do, it's very seldom and few and far between. But you could find Theme Park Duo podcast, which is our themed entertainment podcast where we talk about conventions, haunts, theme parks, amusements, rides, parks, dark rides, everything under the sun, under themed entertainment on iTunes and all your other podcatcher apps. You could also find us at themeparkduo.com.
Right on. And James, the Creepy Kingdom and everything that you have since got a foot in, like the freaking Resident Evil Village, which that is fucking, that's super exciting. I can't wait to see you post about that panel. That's super dope. But where can everybody keep an eye on what you got going on?
Yeah, so over at Creepy Kingdom, we have a series of podcasts. We do videos, we do written content, all the fun stuff. And we actually have a haunt podcast that is returning. We haven't done it in 2 years because it hasn't been a reason to. And it's hosted by Sarah and Ashley from The Haunt List, which is a SoCal haunt coverage website. And I'll appear on there too. But they're going to be taking over the main hosting duty. So very excited to announce that. Figures relevant on our haunt discussion. all the things can be found at creepykingdom.com. We're at Creepy Kingdom on all the platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube.
Right on, man. Well, gentlemen and Nikki, thank you all.
Nikki and gentlemen.
That's going to be the name of my next podcast. Nikki and gentlemen.
Thank you for taking a couple hours and bullshitting, which I think is about our favorite thing of the year, which is going through some scary haunted houses this fall.
Yes.
Knock on wood, we all get to do an ample amount of time until we're fucking sick and tired of haunts. And in November, we're like, fuck, I just need like a break from haunted houses.
And then the day after, you're like, I miss haunt.
Yeah.
I miss haunted houses.
By December, you're like, oh my God, I'm so happy. At least there's one Christmas haunted house. Thank God.
just like, you got any haunted houses around here?
But at least we get to have that cycle. Like, give me that cycle again. Like, give it. You get to, I'm definitely, we will post links to both channels in the show notes of this podcast, Theme Park Duo and Creepy Kingdom, so you guys can follow all three of us, ideally, as we traverse through haunt season upon the posting of this podcast, what is about to happen in about 10 days or so. So get ready, guys. Thank you all for taking the time, and we will see you on the other side, so to speak.